Welcome to Imagine This Podcast,
the show where we discuss, celebrate, and highlight all the excellent and abundant arts and culture in Milwaukee.
We hope that after listening to the pod, you'll see and experience our city and the incredibly vibrant arts and culture community in a new way. Well, welcome back, listeners, to another episode of Imagine This Podcast. We're so glad to have you joining us on the other side of daylight savings. We get more sun every day. That is so exciting. I'm so happy for that. I'm happy you're listening. And on the episode today, we'll be visited. We got a tag team visit. We have Jeff McAllister and Beth Weirich. We'll be talking about the new Make It Local lookbook project. Because fashion and Milwaukee are going to be together in the same sentence many times in 2021. We're excited to be on the, we're going to be on the come up, and you listener on the come up. How the Third Coast is going to be doing couture fashion. I don't even know if that's how you pronounce it, but that's on the back end. But before that, current events.
But first, right? What a week.
Things are happening here. Yes.
It's been a year since the go home, the stay at home order, or the shelter in place, right? For COVID-19. Lindsay around the office sent around a picture last week of this day in Imagine history, which was I think the
last in person meeting.
Was it the support for artist work group meeting in person at the at the East Side Library? Artist David Najib Kassir was there and created a fun sculpture that we'll link to in the ephemera called Epstein Was Murdered. They wanted to charge $35,000 for, or the price tag is $35,000. And given all of the incredible NFT craze, I think, guys,
we started it, by the way. We started the podcast.
We started it. We should make an NFT for as a pod project. I mean, I think we should make that sculpture into a attach a non-fungible token to it and see if we can't get David paid for his sculpture.
We'll invite him. Yeah, we'll ask him. We'll ask him if it's cool, and then if so, arrange a very, very good deal for him in this thing, and we want to get out there. And
so I guess what you're telling me is I'm going to have to finally understand what NFTs are. This is not going away.
There's a we'll link to it in the ephemera, but there is a super easy YouTube video to show everybody how you can make a one of one of a thing and get paid royalties and potentially sell your artwork for $69 million as another piece of digital art sold earlier this week.
Let's make sure Mr. Kassir gets his, and we bring more resources and funds to our artists in the city. I'm all for that. Let's do that.
The question is, we'll have to check in with him on this to see if this will be our actual NFT project. I'm very curious. I guess you can also set like buy it now prices. It's sort of like eBay. So do we set it at 35,000?
You set it at 35,000.
Or do we let the market, I mean, what's to stop the market from bidding it up to 69 million?
Okay. Well, we'll leave that up to him. We'll leave that up to him. We trust him to set that. And so we'll just take our little bit off the top, and then he gets the rest.
Speaking of 1 year ago today in person life, in person life, that's the sentence I'm going for. We were reflecting on that just a year ago, we were getting the Total Shit Show live up and running with our friends at Mindpool. Within a day to get some funds going for the Artist Relief Fund. And we were just out there without masks in the real world. It was a different time. What do you remember from that, David?
I think the thing I most remember about that day is I think Mac and I recorded a podcast in the morning and then we decided it was gonna happen. And then the three of us, right? The three of us were the last people in the office, sort of just sprang to work on that day and sort of creating the show. And then it seems so incredible that at 11:30 there was a kernel for an idea, and then by 7:30 or 8 the show is actually happening. And to your point, Lindsay, just sort of being in that room with about 50 people where people weren't necessarily like doing all the things that we know that we do now sort of naturally, right? Standing far apart, wearing masks at the height of, you know, the beginning of the pandemic. Yeah, it was, there was like a racetrack show outside. Like it was about as close to like the coolest circus that you could ever be in. Very fond memories. Can't believe it was a year ago.
I can't wait to go to a circus of that nature again in right. person.
Mac, what do you remember?
I remember watching at home, watching online, and was just so impressed with the show because you had artists like Rex, you had Zed Kenzo, I believe, and some other artists around there, and Milwaukee artists performing, which was so cool, and the production was excellent, quality was excellent. And it just felt underground, and it felt and Milwaukee at the same time, very proud, defiant. And I was like, I'd watch this every Friday. We should run another one back. But yeah, I was really pleased and hopeful that we would still try to, despite the situation, try to do what we could to support artists to get through. So that's what I remember. Yeah.
Little did we know that would be our lives for the next 52 weeks.
Whew. Yeah,
and probably for the next 26 plus, probably to some extent, right? So not to get to it, but although I will say that our president called it yesterday in the speech. He said he did like the Bill Pullman thing in Independence Day. This would be our Independence Day, right?
And literally on Independence Day, right? By July 4th it will be the
call day. He called the shot. So that in some ways, right, gave permission, I think, for a lot of folks to be thinking about, hey, you know, this is going to be different. You know, baseball is talking about having more people come to games, and, you know, this new CDC guidelines, you know, talking about folks that are vaccinated and being able to see, you know, seeing anecdotal, like grandparents are going to get to see their kids again. There seems to be this sort of energy of optimism of things getting back to better. Than what we've been over the last 52 weeks.
But at the same time, this wondering of what are we going to carry forward from this last year?
Yeah.
What do we want to keep from what we've learned?
Yeah.
As people and as a society. Yeah. What's something on your mind that you want to keep from last year, Mac?
Ooh. I mean, it's the cliche, right? It's like, I don't like saying getting back to normal, because I don't think what was before what was acceptable. And so I'm just hoping, how do we hold the new mental models, or at least the challenging of mental models of like, what's public school for, and how could our economy work for more people? Who's essential? You know, all these things. Like, I hope we continue to interrogate. You know, the movement for Black Lives grew, and I hope we don't lose all that. Right? I know it's heavy. It's still heavy to carry, but like, we can't lose it. Because I know, like, I was joking with y'all earlier, it's like, we're going to have our own version of like the photo of the serviceman kissing the woman in the streets, you know, like on V's, victory over Corona Day, not victory over Europe or victory in Japan, right? There's going to be this sort of energy and wild abandon. And it's like, I think our society is going to be so excited because it's going to be warm weather, and we're going to be out and about, and we finally beat this thing, in quotes. And it's going to be like, and the sports analogy is like, you know, America's going to be like this basketball shooter that just got three shots in a row, and it's going to be jacking up 30-foot shots because it's just heat checking, you know, just like, we're so feeling ourselves. And I think it's so seductive to be in that energy. Like, you want to be there. And I'm not saying I'm going to be the wet blanket. I'm just hoping we continue to carry with us that, how do we build these things to be different? You know, how to build these systems differently to accommodate the new insights we had. So that's what I'm thinking about. And I want to go back to buffets.
Well, clearly.
Can we get that? That's what we know. That's my right. victory. That's my victory over
that's
Corona.
Your victory, yeah.
I'm not kissing someone in the streets. I'm ladling all this like General Tso's chicken on my plate next to like a slice of pizza and like mashed potatoes and gravy. Like, that's when we know we would be.
Or the Indian buffet by the office.
That's even better. I can't believe I went OCB. Yeah, I'll be going back. Yeah, exactly. Putting the naan next to the fish curry.
That's right. That's not canon.
Next to the pakora. Yeah.
So that's. How about you, Lindsay? And by the way, before you answer, do you have CNN yet? Do we still need to revive your CNN hashtag?
Yeah, I don't have cable yet. Why?
No, you're just wondering if you saw Biden's thing. So I didn't know if like Mac was just giving you the breaking news just now.
Breaking was, news. Just Biden spoke news. Last night. He spoke last night.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so much of what Mac had just said.
I took everybody's answer.
Strikes right. From the perspective of our work, how do we make sure that people don't take for granted all of the abundance of opportunities to engage with their neighbors, to engage with artists, to engage with performances, all of this that we had at our fingertips before, but I hope coming out of this will be even stronger and even more of a glue to connect us towards something better. Mm.
Yeah, I think if I can kind of just put a button on this, I think you the team has heard me sort of talk about like how I haven't really been feeling like myself these last few weeks and months, and I think it's partially because of this very thing, right? That we see the light at the end of the tunnel on COVID-19, and I have this feeling that we're going to sort of snap back to normal, and it's going to feel like we haven't had that conversation, right, of what the both of you have talked about, right? Like, what are the things that we're bringing forward with us? Because we, as a society, as Milwaukeeans, we've gone through this thing. And I don't know that we know what it means. I don't know that we know how we feel about it. I think most of us have just been holding our breath, trying to get through it. And for those of us who have been personally affected by it, you know, still trying to process that, right? People who are never going to come back. I just want to make sure that I have this feeling of like not wanting to lose the opportunity that we can come out of this thing stronger, right? And to everybody's point, better. And that's, that I think is that contributes to like kind of how I personally just haven't been feeling like myself these last few weeks. I don't know what the carry forward is, but it is like, mm-hmm. I think something about who we are, right? Figuring out who we are in the second decade of the 21st century.
Well, in the near term, right, the bill was signed, right? American Rescue, I believe, is the bill. And so including that is funds to municipalities all around the country. To support the recovery. And among that, Milwaukee received COVID-19 relief as well to the tune of, I'm looking it up.
$405 million.
So David, do you want to speak to that?
Yeah, no, I think it's, you know, obviously local municipalities like our city have been hit hard, right, over the last year due to tax collections and everything else. I think from what I read in the story, a lot of that money is going to backfill our local budget, which I think is important. I also think, as you all have been hearing me talk about, you know, whether it's on Lake Effect or in our op-ed, some portion of that money ought to more fully fund the arts infrastructure of the city and to develop some of that coordination that city needs internal inside City Hall. To really integrate arts into the operations of government, right? I don't know how many of you were at the Milwaukee Arts Board meeting last Tuesday, but there's going to be some work surrounding creating an artist in residence over at City Hall, which I think is great, right? There's all these like great things that are happening. How can we create an office within city government to begin pulling all of these things together to create more and better impact, right? I think we can, as Imagine, can be the outside agitator, but there has got to be somebody inside, right, who's fully empowered, fully funded to be able to do that work. And we hope that some portion of those dollars sort of creates kind of like an arts. I mean, we joke about it here on our podcast, right? Sort of the arts is art, but an actual literal one, as opposed to not somebody who can declare, you know, random policies on our show that disappear by the end of them. You know, I think about the program that we're launching this week about the arts and health leaders cohort, and I just think how powerful and how important and how cool it'd be to have a position like that helping us sort of navigate City Hall and making connections for the cohort, or potentially even participating in the cohort. This program just launched this last Friday. And so, Mac, do you want to talk a little bit more about how the background of the program, how people can get involved, apply, and what the process is going forward?
Yeah. So in my life, when I came in Imagine over a year ago, I've come from Public Allies, but more importantly, the framework, not just at Public Allies, but the notion of like holding spaces for leadership development, you know, and to be real, to be more real, like how do individuals get better and learn more about themselves and then apply that towards executing better out there, right? For the purpose of getting better results for everyone. And so I wanted to bring that in my role here as, you know, in the Senior Director of Collective Impact, and we're trying to do that through the work groups, but also recognizing there's other ways of doing it. And I think, again, building on our muscle of that, what we do is we connect and we convene and we amplify, bring together. In that spirit, we're gonna keep it rolling with this cohort. And as you said, David, I think the urgency of figuring out how does arts and culture get applied deeper towards our local goals for public health? And what would it mean to actually create a container, a space for folks who want to do that to come together and not just share with each other how they're doing, but also get introduced to tools, introduced to coaching, and introduced to opportunities to sharpen and do that better. And so that's what this cohort's going to be, Arts and Culture Advancing Public Health. It's a time-bound one. It's going to be over several months, and it'll be virtual. So we'll be using, again, tools like Zoom and some virtual networks to support people sharing and coming together. So we're going to be building off of that. And you know, for me, the desired result for this is that folks who step up to this, and again, you could be an artist, a creative, or you could be working in arts and culture organizations, or you could just be anybody who sees this as an opportunity, and you've got the ability to connect arts and culture to a local public health goal, be it neighbor level, city level, county level. You know, I want to bring it together where folks come together, they try it, right? They do it, and then we learn from it, and then figure out how to do it better another time, right? And that's what I'm excited. I think it's building into the strengths of Imagine and building a place for folks to really come together and work collectively on it and learn together on it. So I think that's what's exciting me. It doesn't cost anybody anything except their time and their commitment. It's going to be about 6 to 8 hours a month of work to do it. And my job is curating it and hosting it, you know. And I will say that I've done this for Lutheran Services of America. I partnered with the Casey Foundation and a couple other folks to support them to do one over the course of the year, where they brought together teams from 10 different Lutheran Services in America organizations around the country, and we supported them to create outcomes for foster care youth that are better. One of the cool results from that group is the team from North Dakota actually reduced the amount of Black, brown kids in juvenile justice by 50% within 10 months, right? And that's what I'm talking about. People who come to the space, you're not bringing a hypothetical, you're bringing like, this is work I want to do. That's what they want to do. And the space we were able to have them work through over the course of 10 months, we came together once every other month, they got to that result. And like, that's what excites me, is like holding that kind of space for our leaders in town. And so, yeah, we're gonna have people sign up and go ahead.
They can do that right now at our website.
You can do it right now.
Right.
And just want to let you know, like, what I'm really excited about the innovation that we're thinking about doing this is, usually when you do processes like this, you know, people have to apply. It makes sense. You apply, you get selected. We're going to have a select amount of people in it, not to be exclusive. It's just capacity, because I'll be coaching folks. I'll be setting up materials for folks. That takes a lot. So, you know, it's probably about 12 people we're thinking. So you got to pick people, right? And usually in the past, you have people, you know, interview or they submit. We're actually creating an experience over the next few weeks where people get to test drive the cohort experience. And my hypothesis will be, the ones who really want to do it will stick. And some people are like, I like this, but this is not for me. So my hope is that this is a lowercase d democratic way, if you will, of seeing if people want to try this. So that's what I'm excited to test.
That's right. So if you want to hang out with Mac even more. You can go and apply for the cohort now. Mac, thanks for connecting Imagine to this opportunity with Annie and Casey. I'm really excited to see that work get underway. Thanks.
You know what I'm excited about, Lindsay?
Yeah.
You're about to introduce the guest bio. And for trivia questions, this is the first time Lindsay's introducing the guest on Imagine.
It's the first time on our podcast that anybody except you has introduced the guest.
Yeah, we're so really changing things up here.
I'm not perceiving this as my diminishing power. I'm just sort of seeing this as a new day, a new era, a new opportunity.
You should think of it as your diminishing power.
Long live the Lindsay Sheridan.
And on that note, my reign begins. We're really excited to welcome two guests this week. So Beth Wyrick is back for the second time. She's the CEO of the Downtown Bid number 21. And she's also a lifelong advocate for the arts and their impact in downtown and neighborhood planning, which is evidenced by the abundance of place-based projects that the Downtown Bid has done in the past 23 years. And then she will also be joined by Jeff McAllister. So Jeff and his business Fashion Sense collaborated with the Downtown Bid on a lookbook that we're going to be talking to them more about. So Jeff is a Midwest-based stylist, branding consultant, model, and fashion show producer. He's been featured in commercial catalogs. He's a designer and photography portfolios. Let me say that again. Sorry. He's been featured in commercial catalogs, designer and photography portfolios, as well as industry trade publications. Jeff works with clients through his business, Fashion Sense, to help them realize their true personal style. And he's most recently served as director of production for Milwaukee Fashion Week 2019. So after the break, Beth and Jeff. The actress I contracted for the script no one has seen. Cast you in the starring role, baby, I follow your lead. We rehearse until it's perfect. Jeffrey and Beth, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, I'm really happy to be here too, albeit virtually. I can't wait till we can do it in person, but tis the season.
Welcome back, Beth. You're now part of our 2X Club, twice a guest on the pod. So we'll be sure to give you a key to the smoking room where there's brandy snifters and jackets you can wear.
Awesome. And dark chocolate, perhaps.
Exactly. Dark chocolate. So look forward to in real time. That's not a virtual. It's a real time thing. Welcome back. And Jeff, again, welcome to the pod. It's so great to have you on, as well as especially after looking at the lookbook. I was like, I can't wait to meet this person who helped make this together. So
thank you.
And again, our pod listeners, it's an audio pod. Jeff does not disappoint in person. He looks, he's like, if you run an organization called Fashion Sense, you gotta be ready every day. And he's
on
calling cards. So thank you, Jeff, for bringing that and inspiring all of us to know just because it's a pandemic doesn't mean we can't look good. And
right.
Thank you, Jeff.
Well, we can't wait to get into all the stories you have to share about how this gorgeous lookbook came to be. But before we get to that, we like to start off our conversations by asking you to share with us an arts and culture experience in your past that really left a strong imprint on you, that affected you.
Okay. Well, for me, when I was looking at this, I was thinking about it, and I want to say, it would actually be probably when I was a freshman in high school. Mm. And I had my first African-American English teacher, and he actually started up a forensics team at the school. Never thought about it, didn't know what is forensics, what is this this whole thing. And so he just kind of pulled this all together. And, you know, so for me, it was the first piece that I did from Black Boy by Richard Wright. It was an excerpt. Yeah. So it was just very powerful. So that was kind of my introduction to performing in front of people, looking at Black literature in that type of way and being able to bring it to life. Yeah. So that was probably very significant for me in how I started looking at cultural experiences, theater, public speaking, and just being up in front of people.
Your teacher invited you.
Yes.
Right. What was the name of your teacher again?
His name was Daniel Hand. Mr. Hand. Yes.
Mr. Hand said, I see you in this and I want you to do this. And you were like a yes right away, or you're like, let me get back to you, or like,
no, I was like, hey, sounds good to me. Let's go for it. And you know, it was a free trip on Saturdays to other schools and, you know, and different things like that. So it was really a lot of fun. I ended up doing it all the way through high school into probably my second year of college.
Wow. So you pulled home a lot of ribbons. You pulled home some hardware. You don't go that whole time without pulling. Getting on the podium once or twice.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome. Exactly.
Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. And I guess I went in a different direction on this question, but hearing Jeffrey's story just now reminded me of when I got to play Pippi Longstocking in sixth grade. Oh. But yeah, but I mean, that had really, I lost that. But my initial response was really, well, there was two. It was my immersive experience in the Anne Frank Museum. Mm-hmm. My daughter, Shauna, was playing overseas in Denmark in a little city called Groningen. And wow. We had the opportunity to visit the Anne Frank Museum. And I just remember it was the second time I've ever had an experience where you walk into a space and it's just visceral. Mm. Mm-hmm. And you just almost breathe it in because you could feel all of that energy and only begin to imagine what Anne Frank and the other occupants of that house were going through during that time. And just the imagination just took off. And, you know, of all the things in my life that I took for granted, you know, conversation and food and education and experiences and just going outside for fresh air and just what it meant, you know, the Nazi occupation. And it was a really emotional experience for me that gave me enormous amounts of gratitude for the freedom that I have and enormous amounts of recognition of how implicit bias can really turn the world into an ugly place. Mm-hmm. And yet you have human beings who wake up each and every day and make the most of it and still find ways to be lifelong learners. And so that experience for me, I'm getting goosebumps as I talk about it, was something that, you know, ironically, I started reading the book at the beginning of COVID, The Diary of Anne Frank, and just the isolation. And there were some parallels for that. So maybe that's why that is the experience that came to mind when you asked that question.
You know, it strikes me, the thread between both of your stories is sort of that experience of inhabiting another, right, Jeff? You know, your story about bringing the story Richard Wright's writing and embodying it in person.
Yes.
All these folks. And I'm going to guess, Jeffrey, there probably wasn't a lot of Black literature being read out loud.
No, spaces, no.
You know, so you're bringing it to people, right? Exactly. And I got to imagine, I competed in those things back in the day. I'm sure judges don't know what to make of it sometimes, right? Because you're inviting them to go to the border of their own experience.
Exactly.
In a way, right? And exactly. And again, Beth, you're discussing your own story of going to a place and literally transcending where you were in your own place and time and being in that family's place and understanding that and the visceralness of it, right? And just the power of it. And so, of course, the power of placemaking for you, Beth, Jeff, the power of bringing things to place. It's a natural, this lookbook we're talking about, because that's what you both did with this story, this lookbook project, which, you know, Kenita shared it with, you know, with both the team, you know, me and Lindsay on the call here, but and the team. And I got to say, I don't know about you, Lindsay, but I just love seeing the intermodal. Like, wow, I didn't think of the intermodal as a runway, you know, or you know, or those on the Riverwalk, and you've got those pieces there, and almost hiding in plain sight. These beautiful people wearing these beautiful garments, and making the strange familiar and familiar strange, Milwaukee, you know, in a way. So that, I don't know, Lindsay, what your reaction was. Look, but I wanted to let Beth and Jeff know that that's how it came from me.
Yeah, I agree. And I was struck by how different Milwaukee looked through the lens of seeing this fashion in place, and also coming out of this time of COVID, of how powerful it especially felt to be looking at these images of public space, of powerful people in public spaces. I just was struck by how different that looks compared to our lives and our homes every day, where we're just, you know, we're just a little bit trapped. But but tell us more about the nature of the project and how you came to work on it together.
Well, I'm curious to hear Jeffrey's story, because our lives have been intersecting for 7 years, I guess, like 7 years. And so, you know, you recognize how you intersect with a human on one level, and then there are so many other layers that come that just sort of bubble up. And every time I was with Jeffrey, I was always, well, first and foremost, extraordinarily impressed with his breadth and depth, and in a different interest than what was his fashion sense. But it was through Employ MKE, and we both shared this passion around workforce development and new and creative and innovative approaches to it. And Jeffrey came in and took over essentially the staffing and the guidance and the administration of a particular arm of workforce development that we began to explore around hospitality and retail. And that's how we really got to know one another. But every time Jeffrey was in my presence, I always felt tethered. I always felt like he was bringing best practices. He was focused. He could synthesize conversations in a room full of people and bring it back home and really help lay out strategy and work steps, all the while looking extraordinarily dapper. And I was just like, your mom must be so proud of you because you are smart, you are creative, you're energetic, you're kind, you're thoughtful. And man, do you have a great sense of fashion. And then I started to see some of his work. And, whenever we would get together and talk about the work of Employ MKE, when the business part of the meeting was over, I would just say, we've got to do something together. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen the work that you've done, the teams that you work with. It's beautiful and imaginative, and it's compelling work. And we made a commitment that this was going to be the year we were going to do a fashion show in the heart of downtown Milwaukee. And you know, I want to pass it over to Jeff because I don't want to monopolize the conversation, but he might have a different perspective because there is definitely an unfolding to this story with lots of interesting twists and turns.
All right.
And you know, and thanks for the kind words, Beth. The sentiment is the same, as she explained. We met through workforce development, and I think for me it was just like an automatic connection. Like you meet people and there's just this connection, and when I bring up Beth to different individuals, I just say the first word that comes to me is sincerity. There's just this very sincere, genuine person. And that was what really drawn me to her, was her sincerity behind the workforce development, just the interest in the other things that were going on, the community at large. Because let's face it, there's a lot of people that say they're interested, that say they believe in the community, but we know there's an underlying motive there. We just keep it real. But with her, I felt like this lady is genuine. And everything that she says is real, it's passion. She keeps her word. She always does whatever she can to make it happen. And at one point when I first started the workforce side of this, she was the chair. And then just through many different things that happened, she couldn't be there, she couldn't be involved. Mm-hmm. But she always managed to have time. Jeff, let's get together, catch me up on what's going on. Let me know whatever I can do. I can't be there, but I'll do what I can. Mm-hmm. And that was what just left a lasting impression on me, and just in her in general as a person, professionally and personally. Mm-hmm. So, it just, you know, as I say, I just felt like it was a blessing that this all kind of just, it came together. But as she said, it went through many twists and turns to get to where we were, to get to the lookbook. It did initially start out as a virtual show in Cathedral Square.
Okay.
We were going to run it virtually just because of, you know, the COVID and, you know, things. So we did this whole, you know, I got my team together, and Beth was like, well, this is what I'm going to take care of. You just do the whole thing, get it laid out. And so we through all this planning, you got to think about COVID guidelines. You got to think about how all of this is going to be set up. So it wasn't just, you know, your normal run of the mill type thing. Mm-hmm. So we get the date, we get all this stuff going, and then come to the realization due to some of the guidelines for how many people can be in a park. Mm-hmm. Had to make that first pivot. My heart dropped that day on the call, because it was just like, once you got everybody together and you realize, even though it wasn't a public event, there's still going to be a lot of people out there, and it wasn't going to be able to work. And so it was just kind of like, I'm sitting here like, oh my God, it's 2 weeks before the event and everybody's sad, and what are we going to do?
Yeah.
And then there was the suggestion of, well, hey, let's do this lookbook, and that way everybody can still participate. We can still get something out there. And so that's, you know, kind of what happened. And we were going to actually do it. We're going to shoot the lookbook the weekend that the show was actually supposed to happen. Then the weather, of course, then that's when the weather starts getting a little crazy.
Yeah.
So then we had to move it to another weekend. So it was just this constant making a pivot of doing something. And so from my end, you know, it's kind of like pulling out my imaginary hair here. Like, okay, now I got to call everybody again. I got to make sure everybody's still committed. I got to make sure all this stuff is done. But, you know, thankfully it really, really all came together very well. And we shot the weekend of December 19th, that Saturday and Sunday. And, you know, the models were phenomenal. Everybody was phenomenal, because it was not actually really warm out there.
So. No.
And as you can see, they did not show that they were freezing to death.
Pros. That's what pros do.
Yeah. So that's you know, my take. I don't know if Beth wants to kind of add some more to that. Or
I feel inclined to, only because of all the twists and turns that did take place. I mean, it was literally that 2 week mark that Jeffrey was mentioning, when, you know, we had been really thoughtful about the staging and making sure we had space for the makeup artists and the models to be socially distanced. And we had already established COVID-19 safety guidelines. And the numbers, if you remember, at that time in the city were really escalating after Thanksgiving. And the city had come down with a new order. And that's when they said you can't have any more than 10 people in any given space. So initially it was going to be a fashion show in the park where people could be outside and it would be safe. Then it was going to be a virtual fashion show where we could still have all the models and the makeup and hair artists there and the production team there and some live music or a DJ. And then it was, oh gosh, now the city's order won't allow more than 10 human beings in any gathering space, regardless of its location or capacity. And so when Gabe Yeager, who's our downtown environment specialist, who's amazing and wonderful, and he's the kind of person who just, like, all these ideas continuously percolate from this person's brain.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you all know Gabe. We love Gabe. He's just like, he's amazing and awesome, and our city is so fortunate to have him. So we're talking about, we're going to turn this into a photo shoot, and we're just going to feature these boutiques from across the greater Milwaukee area and these beautiful, beautiful models and these phenomenally talented hair and makeup artists, as well as utilizing it as an opportunity, because Jeffrey's always thinking like this, to mentor some of the students from MATC, always thinking about succession and training and planning. And then, so of course, Gabe's like, well, instead of just a photo shoot where we just post the photos on our digital platforms, let's create this lookbook, you know, that can live on for an entire season. We all loved it, but it wasn't just like all of a sudden the models and the hair and makeup artists were going to show up. Jeffrey went out in amongst this horrific weather because he wanted to make sure the backdrop locations would in fact intersect appropriately with the models, with the designers, you know, and he put so much thought and work and effort into this. And I just felt badly, because it was what would have been a one-time, one-off, one day, a couple of hours show, all of a sudden turned into two weekends of photo shoots. And I will say, every single person who collaborated on this initiative, from production to design to management to models, for the most part, our hair and makeup artists, you know, our videographer, our photographers, everybody was so committed to seeing this project come through, get it across the finish line, that everybody was willing to alter their work schedule. Mm-hmm. It ended up probably being triple the amount of work and mm-hmm. effort, particularly under Jeffrey's leadership, that it was intended to be. And when I look at that book now, it's like, oh my God, we rocked it, didn't we? We yes. just rocked it. Yeah. And you look at the beauty and the talent that the city has. Yes. And, you know, our brown and black beauty, we ooze with it. And this yeah. book just tells that story without any words at all, right? I mean, it is Jeffrey.
Yeah.
So I know enough about fashion from watching years of Project Runway to be dangerous, right? To have an uninformed, informed opinion. And when you said we're going to do a Cathedral Square, I'm like, oh, it's going to be like Bryant Park. Like, that's going to be our Bryant Park. Is that like Cathedral Square? But when you had to pivot, I love that how you used, again, the places of Milwaukee, the intermodal mm-hmm. in front of Fiserv, mm-hmm. you know, on the river. That mm-hmm. that almost was like, that's what we meant to do. Yeah. Like, because Cathedral Square is beautiful. It's really cool. But I think it's just, to me, exactly. Like, it's just sort of re-engaging these spaces with the vibrant, people of our city showing mm-hmm. out. And mm-hmm. showing out the fashion of our city. I think that ultimately was like, of course you planned to do that, right? That was the plan. It just seemed like that's how it has to be. And to me, I think it was just an elegant, like, that's what I got when I watched. Like, such an elegant design and just a clever way to make a new story, right? To yes. build a new story about it. Yeah. And so, yeah.
Yeah. Along those lines, I was curious, as you worked on this final product that wasn't the original product, but became this awesome opportunity to tell a story about Milwaukee fashion in a way that will be around and have legs for a while. This lookbook can keep circulating mm-hmm. for the foreseeable future. As you were choosing the models and the fashion and the boutiques to feature in the lookbook, what kind of story all together do you hope that it tells about Milwaukee fashion? Mm. And what do you think is the perception of Milwaukee fashion right now for people that might not be as engaged with that scene?
Well, yeah, I think Milwaukee fashion, Midwest fashion in general, is not looked at as something like, ooh, we need to really get there. Even kind of down to Chicago, the Midwest is just kind of like, oh, it's okay. They're kind of doing their thing. Mm. But, you know, this project, that meant a lot to me on that level, in that it was a way to display that and to show that, hey, we've got a lot of good talent here. We have emerging talent here. There were a ton of other designers and people that were like, do you need anybody else? Can yeah. you? I'm like, no, we got what we need right now. And I think it's also, I've seen an evolution taking place in Milwaukee and in the Midwest as it relates to fashion. I've had opportunities to be down in Chicago, but here in Milwaukee, and then just being engaged with Milwaukee Fashion Week and just looking at different things there, I really think there's an emergence of new designers and a new outlook on fashion in Milwaukee. And people are trying to move beyond maybe what they see as the Laverne and Shirley or the Happy Days and the different things like that Milwaukee's known for, to really pushing something into the 21st century to say, hey, we have a story to tell here. We have individual identities. We are diverse and we know how to sock it to you. And I think that's what this story tells and what it will introduce and reintroduce to people here in the city about fashion and what the culture is here in Milwaukee. Mm.
Beth, you know, pivoting to you, right? When I think of place, right? And that's what Jeff's talking about, this notion of, there's a notion of place that's embedded, right? The Midwest perceived this place that gets flown over, you know, and all this stuff. I'm really curious to think of, you know, you at Downtown Bid is really cognizant about place and would love to think from your perspective, what do you think is potentially the relationship between place and fashion in Milwaukee, potentially, right? Building off of this or what do you hope it would be?
Well, when you say place to me now, the thing that I think of immediately, I don't know if you had the opportunity to listen to Richard Florida talk about Great American cities and the way in which we were responding to the pandemic. And one of the things that he said will bubble up to the top as being one of the most important things that we all came to realize through the pandemic is how important it is to have peace in place, to feel peace in whatever place you are, so that that's where you feel comfortable, that's where you want to be. And I just remember that it was like, wow, it's so simplistic. But so when I think about design, when I think about fashion, when I think about creativity, when I think about individualism, but also collectivism, I think about peace and place. And what does that mean to any of us? I mean, for those of us who are blessed enough to be able to travel and immerse ourselves in other cultures and in other worlds that we wouldn't have otherwise been able to experience except for that moment and that place, I think about how comfortable are people feeling in this place of downtown? And what is it that we can do to bring that energy here and to create the space for you to feel peace in place here? And that might seem like a lot of words, but it's the only way I can really express it is that, you know, you look at where some of these designers are and these boutiques, they're not in downtown Milwaukee, you know, they're all over our city. And for me, it was a gift to be able to welcome this creative energy into the heart of our city, into the heart of our downtown. Because if there's ever anything we, meaning my team, our organization, our community can do to build our bonds and to help connect community, it's about allowing everyone to feel safe and good and connected to that place. So for Jeffrey to bring these designers, these beautiful people inside and out, these models, these hair and makeup artists, these students to the place that I call downtown in my home, in my heart of the community, it brought life and vitality at a time where I think so many of us could have gone to a dark place. Mm. And it's what you were saying, Mac, like you look at those pictures and it's magical and it's mystical and you just feel that vibe. And there's something very sensual about it. There's something very connected about it. And there's something so creative about it. And to me, when I can walk into a space that gives me all of those feelings, mm-hmm. I feel like it's pretty darn good.
You know, Jeffrey, I was thinking about, like I said, I can be pretty dangerous about fashion because after one season of emulating Tim Gunn, then I got to take like, oh, I don't know about that silhouette, you know, whatever. Right. And, but what I think about, you know, I referenced Project Runway. I think one of the genius about that show is it actually creates something that might be perceived as elite, as accessible. Mm-hmm. Right. Like it invites us to look through the eyes of the designers and look through the eyes of the judges trying to understand. And I was just wondering from your perspective about fashion on one hand, right, there's this notion of it's beautiful people wearing beautiful garments that I probably couldn't fit into, you know, saying, myself. Right. And that's one angle of it. But at the same time, fashion is everybody every day. Cause we all have a choice to present ourselves. And I'm wondering what's that tension like for you, or how do you get to explore that sort of duality of, you know, elite but yet accessible, and
yeah.
Or where does Milwaukee fashion fit in that if it does at all? Or what's your
take? I won't say that it's elite.
Yeah.
I think it maybe one point in time it may have been perceived that way.
Yeah.
But what I've been seeing, and as we've seen nationally with fashion, is that it's becoming more diverse. So you have an emergence of plus size models. Mm. You have an emergence of, just like I said, you know, more diverse models, even plus size male models. Mm. And I think that it's just people becoming comfortable with what they like. And as you said, it's, you know, how you identify yourself and you wear it in confidence. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the great things about this project that I like that is it gave you a little bit of everything. So we had the kind of the couture with Gigi's collections. We had the vintage wear with Leela's boutique. We had some of the Afro urban with Purdy wear. We had your dapper GQ with the Milano fashions and stuff that we shot at the Intermodal Station. We had your kind of your business to After Five for Men with the Stacey Adams that was shot inside the St. Kate's. And we had our urban with the No Fingerprints. So going back to what Beth said and bringing communities together and bringing them to the downtown, through this project, we covered different areas of fashion that everybody could connect with in and brought it to downtown Milwaukee. You can have this couture gown and be downtown. You can throw on a cap and something and, you know, have a good time. You can leave the office and go have, you know, go to happy hour, whatever the case may be. So I think that it's changed a lot. And I don't see that struggle there as much anymore.
You know, Jeff, the way you laid that out for me after, like, you know, I looked through the lookbook when I did, and I looked through this morning when I was preparing for this interview, you named six different styles. To me, I didn't get that vibe. I'm like, this all works together, but that speaks to your brilliance, right? Because you made it like these things can be disparate genres that don't belong together. But the way you wove it together, that's Milwaukee. It could be that. And to Beth's point, that's how downtown works. It all these folks could be running into each other. Although I don't know, that's probably the sexiest Hiawatha train I've ever seen. I'm never on that one. I don't think I'm on that car. But I guess that's beautiful how you laid it out. And even I had this moment of like, oh yeah, those are different looks, but they all looked really well together. And maybe that's the story, Beth, you're hoping that Milwaukee tells. And to your point, I would love to get your take again. And you, when Gabe's been on and you've been on, what resonates, your branding, you're everybody's neighborhood. You know that, you know, everybody in Milwaukee has a neighborhood, but downtown has to be everybody's neighborhood, not just those that visit, right? but everybody who's from the city. And I know that you've all, you know, I've been on Leon in this job for about a year and a half, and I know you've been on it before, but I've just seen in the year and a half just the transformation of spaces and even subtle things like signage shifting and all these things. And I just, for you, sort of, what is the continual challenge, if you will? Like, how do you keep figuring out ways to do that, or what are you excited about continuing to pursue in 2021?
Oh God, I'm excited about a lot. I ooze with excitement when I think about the opportunities that our community has in front of us. I would say first and foremost, we are just getting ready to launch the update on our downtown Milwaukee master plan. And we're going about it in such a different way. We're really looking at how do we cast the net far and wide, again, with intention, to invite everyone to participate in this process as we begin to envision what downtown can be, should be, and will be as we move forward in this next 20-year plan. So I'm really excited about that. We're really looking at creative ways in which we can have community engagement. And I think things like this exercise of allowing people to really be free and expressive and creative, it's almost like these visual preference surveys where you get to see, what do people do in these spaces? What do people want to do in these spaces? What brings people joy in these spaces? So I'm really excited about that, but I'm continually excited about a lot of the work that our team is doing in these third spaces. People who haven't been downtown during the pandemic will be so shocked and surprised to see, you know, so many of our new murals, The Hero in You by Ken Brown. We had this big project with four muralists on Broadway Street under 794 with beautiful muralists and the implementation of creative lighting designs. And we've been featuring these beautiful ice sculptures throughout downtown Milwaukee. We've got the lookbook. We introduced the Massimals, the wooden polar bear puzzles by artist Jason Scrogan in Cathedral Square Park. And, you know, we continue to look at our third spaces as opportunities that are affordable, free, provide freedom, give us creativity, and allow people to have their imagination come to life. And I think whenever people can be in that creative space, there is just like this emotional connection, and that's what we want. You know, yes, we want to drive our economy. Yes, we want to continue to build on our tax base. Yes, we want to attract jobs and corporate headquarters, and we want to add density with our residential population. But, you know, again, bringing it full circle, what does that mean? Like, when people choose to be in downtown Milwaukee, do they feel peace in that place? Do they feel like they're part of it? And so I'm always excited about it, because the best ideas come from people who aren't always day in and day out working inside the same bubble that I do. Mm-hmm. So part of it, I think, Mac, is making space to allow other people's thoughts and ideas to permeate our process as we look forward in what the future of our city will bring for all of us.
Beth, I know that from the Imagines perspective, you all are great partners in coming to us with new and exciting ideas about how we can do just that, make downtown a more inspiring and welcoming and imaginative place. And I want to turn to Jeff with a question along those lines of imagining what's next. What do you hope for some potential next intersections of place and fashion in the coming year?
Wow. Would love to see some type of fashion showcase or event that brings all the communities together. My mind is always spinning, and I see a lot of great opportunities with some things that are already occurring in the city. So we have Bastille Days and different festivals, and I believe those are ways that fashion could be incorporated to bring the communities together and to just elevate what's already happening at these beautiful festivals that are taking place. We have Summerfest, and I just see a lot of different opportunities there. That's something that I would definitely like to see. That's one of my big wish list things that I would like to see take place.
Let's do it, Jeff.
Yes.
Listeners. You heard it here. It's happening here. I'm going to be in the front row with my little glasses, and then I'm going to like push them down and watch people come by. And
it's gonna be
awesome. I can't wait.
Well, as we start to wind down our time with you, we like to go into this whimsical headspace towards the end of each podcast, where we invite you to imagine that for the next 30 seconds, you are the czar of arts and culture in Milwaukee, and you have the power to enact any policy or make any change that you think would be powerful for Milwaukee. So for both of you, what are you going to do in your brief reign as czar of arts and culture?
You want me to go first, Jeff?
Yeah, you go first.
Okay. Well, it didn't take long for me to figure this out because what I've learned about Milwaukeeans is that they need to leave Milwaukee to come back in order to appreciate Milwaukee. Oftentimes, because I think in so many things in our lives, I don't want this to come off wrong, but we take many things for granted. And I'm speaking about myself. And so what I would wish, or what I would wave my czar wand over, is I would eliminate any barriers to travel. And I would encourage all of our youth to explore the world and to immerse themselves in other cultures, whether that's arts, design, fashion, architecture, cuisine, music, whatever that is go out and explore the world and then absorb all of that and then bring that life lesson back here with you to Milwaukee and implement the best of everything that you ever experienced and become that inspiration to others to really make space for creativity, for the way in which others celebrate arts and culture, but it also will allow them and us to really open ourselves to, breaking outside of that mold and thinking differently. So that's what I would do if I was czar for a day.
Beth, that's the long play, because I can only imagine, wait, we're spending money to send our kids away? What's going on? But Beth's like, no, this is going to play out. Trust me, this is it.
We're manifesting it, Mac. We're manifesting it. Y'all.
Jeff, what will you be enacting?
I would like to see a emerging arts council established. And the hub would be in Milwaukee, downtown Milwaukee, and there would be a representation from all neighborhoods in a way to cultivate it, and kind of going back to what we did with the lookbook, and as we said, the mentoring with the MATC students and things like that. So this emerging arts council could be emerging, you know, designers or musicians, artists, you know, whatever. And connect them with those who are already seasoned in those different areas of discipline. And then the project would be how to connect the city through their emerging gifts and their emerging arts. So that would be mine.
All right.
You know, I see the spark in Mac's eye. That'll be the next. That'll be our next cohort.
Folks. It's gonna be hard to sell people on spending money on. Wait, all our money's going to Amsterdam to go visit the Anne Frank. What's going on? But I think we could, you know, we could keep our jobs and going this council thing though. That you're talking about, Jeff. That might be
okay.
We could slip that other travel one in the. Okay. Yeah, we could slip that in a loophole of the other one. That'd get bad. But I think that is, there's something there. And it's going to happen downtown. That's we're going to make sure it happens.
Everyone's downtown. Everyone's downtown.
Yes.
I like it.
Yes.
Jeff and Beth, thanks so much for taking the time for being with us in this conversation. But if our listeners wanted to find you after this conversation, where can they find you? This is our plug section. This is how you can find it.
Well, I have a Facebook page, which is Fashion Sense.
Yeah.
So they can find me on there. LinkedIn, Fashion Sense, and Instagram is JMACJR03.
Great. We'll link to it in the ephemera. And Beth, how can they find you in the bid?
Well, Milwaukee Downtown, we're on every digital platform. Of course, our website, I want you to go to MilwaukeeDowntown.com for sure. because on the very front page, you can take a peek at the lookbook, this beautiful, beautiful, magnificent, inspirational body of work that exudes love, fashion, design, and inside out beauty. So, easy to find.
Awesome.
Well, thank you to you both. We'll look forward to seeing you at that fashion show.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Lindsay and Mac, thanks for everything that you do, because we get to have some of the best conversations in this community because of your true love and interest for the arts. So thank you so much for the opportunity.
I can't wait to go back downtown. Like, I can go downtown now, but I can't wait to go back when everything's warmer.
Hearing them talk about the process of making the lookbook and kind of better understanding all the styles of fashion represented also makes me want to go out and buy clothes to see people again someday soon. Someday soon.
I gotta admit, when Jeff showed up, like, looking great, I was like, oh gosh, I got to step up my game. You know, I just had this moment of regret. Like, oh gosh, we have guests in the house. I should have dressed better. It's a stupid pandemic.
Behind the scenes, listeners, we just, you know, we didn't try today, but no. Jeff did.
And Beth. Beth's got the glasses. Looks super stylish with the.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
She should have been like coming out of like a convertible. One of those like Austin Powerceps convertible. Those are the glasses she was rocking. Either way, I got to say, like, it's been so much fun working with Beth and Gabe at the bid, because they're always concocting stuff. Mm-hmm. They're always like, hey, what do you think? What about this?
Yeah.
And that's so awesome. And it's such a pleasure to always have this opportunity to talk to Beth, to hear, you know, what's behind all this stuff. And I think what I get from Beth, to echo what Jeff's saying, is just such a sincere love for place. And her being a lifelong resident of this lovely city, you can see that she wants to keep it going.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about for you, Lindsay? What keeps resonating for you after this conversation?
To hear Jeff's explanation after you asked him about, you know, fashion can seem elite, right? And seem out of reach. And the way that he explained what all was happening in the lookbook and what all was happening in Milwaukee fashion, I think speaks to how we can better achieve that balance of elite being accessible and for everyone, but still special, you know? Mm-hmm. That's something that's resonating with me.
You know who's special?
Who, Mac?
Our listeners. They're incredibly special. Hey, listeners, thanks again for listening to another episode of Imagine This Podcast. If you enjoyed it and you'd like to help support the pod, please share it with others, post about it on social, leave a rating and review, or contact us directly at pod@imaginemke.org. We'll write back, I promise.
Imagine This Podcast is a team effort produced, edited, and hosted by MacArthur Antigua, David Lee, and Lindsay Sheridan, and is the flagship of the Imagine MKE Podcast Network.
Make sure you also listen and subscribe to Black Imagination and back episodes of Arts Forward MKE, all of which can be found at imaginemke.org/podcasts.
To catch all the latest from Imagine MKE, hit us up at Twitter and Instagram at @imagine_MKE or Facebook or LinkedIn at @imagine_MKE.
Thanks again, and we'll catch you next Tuesday when we bring on board from the Milwaukee Artists Resource Network, MARN, Brianna Borrichter Hernandez. Until then.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
People are like, is it going to be like the podcast, but all the time? Like, if that works for you, yes. If it doesn't work for you, no. That's not what it is. Right. So, yeah. But if it works for you, yeah, that's what it's going to be like. It's going to be like the podcast in your earballs all the time. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe not.
Well, it's really awesome news, Mac. Thanks for connecting.
I like how Liz is like, I guess that's awesome news. You know, for one person out there, like, I can't wait to do this. And for pretty much the billions of others, it's like, that's a hard pass for me, dog. And it's fine. We're going to have a good time.